in finances, that's such a challenging topic for many of us. In this episode, I'm talking with Christine Sano. Christine runs a financial services company that is dedicated to empowering women in their journey for financial freedom. She is passionate about providing her clients with security and strategy and helping them make the most of their money while providing a solid plan for the future. This was such an insightful conversation. We both opened up about our money stories, and Christine shares some valuable strategies for you to start taking better care of your finances so you can live the life you desire and have the financial means to do so. Hello and welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast, the show where we dive deep into the world of online businesses while navigating hot flashes and menopausal brain fog, to name just a few symptoms of being an entrepreneur in your midlife. I'm your host, Susanne Reicher, and I help coaches and service providers like you who want to build a blissful online business in their 40s, 50s, or 60s with a clear message, an aligned offer suite, and marketing strategies rooted in the heart. Christine, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. Thanks you so much for being here.
Suzanne, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you and explore all kinds of fun topics and ideas together.
Yes, I'm so excited too. I love what you're doing. I can't wait for our listeners to get to know you, to learn more about you. Yes, why don't you start just with a shortish introduction, who you are, what you do, to get started.
Absolutely. Thank you, Suzanne. So just very briefly, the way I work with others, and specifically with women, that's really my passion and my heart song. I work with them as a financial coach. So it's very different from working with individuals in the traditional financial advisory space, whether it's like, you know, an investment advisor, a CFP, certified financial planner, you know, somebody who's a tax expert or strategist. I do bring education and mentorship around financial well-being and helping women understand actually how to plan for the future financially. But what I weave into that is a lot of emotional and mindset work around money. Because I've also learned that oftentimes we can be provided with very sound financial strategies and tactics. But if we don't embody the confidence and even the abundance and the wealth mindset that allows us to take inspired action, I often find that women struggle with even implementing, you know, financial strategies that could be very beneficial for their future.
It's such a sensitive topic, I think, especially for women, right? It's so emotionally charged. And yet we are afraid of it, a lot of us, I feel.
Yeah. I agree. I absolutely agree.
What brought you there? What's your background?
So if I may, I will share with you just a little bit about my personal story, because that really kind of leads me to, you know, my mission today. I'm the daughter of an immigrant mother. My mom was born in Taiwan. She grew up in very extreme poverty. Her father died when she was three, and she really, I mean, she grinded through hunger and, you know, really tough childhood. When my mom met my father, this was in the late 60s, my father is American. I think my mom hoped for a different life. Not growing up with, you know, just financial means, financial independence, or even an understanding of what does financial well-being look like, right? In general, you know, my mom decided to marry somebody who was a little bit older, and she had hoped that she would have, you know, a safe life. Unfortunately, you know, my father was also challenged, and he grew up in an abusive household, and he was also challenged with addiction issues. So dad was an alcoholic. So he was verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive to my mom. and coerced her to move to the United States with two small children under duress. And my sister and I, we watched the experience my mom had to endure in that marriage until years later she was able to allow herself to be in a position or put herself in a position to start to have some financial independence to be able to leave my dad. But we watched that growing up, and it had a very major imprint on us. And I learned very quickly for me personally that my freedom to choose the life that I want is tied directly to my own financial independence. And so that molded and shaped my worldview on money. And I saw money very early on as a tool to create that for myself, which inspired me to go into, when I graduated from college, into the corporate world and predominantly in the world of media and sales, right? And then pivot into the technology space and working for startups, which, you know, allowed for me to tap into equity positions in the companies, right? Because for my framework was, what can I do to create a financial ecosystem, a platform for myself to always allow me to have choices in life, to understand that if I'm making a choice that doesn't serve me, I'm able to pivot and make another choice, right? So I worked in corporate for the better part of almost 25 years, over two decades. And as I was coming through the ranks, I was working with so many wonderful people, especially women who were not only trying to figure out how to move forward in their career and just create more earning potential for themselves, but it became very apparent to me that a lot of these women were struggling with how to plan financially for the future. So I met women that were making great money, but spending it as fast as they were making it, right? And so I found myself in conversations, you know, I always say, you know, business is personal. And so I, you know, developed rapport and friendships with so many of these clients and women that I worked with within my own organization. We have heart to hearts. And I would say, look, you know, if it were me, this is what I would do. You know, have you thought about planning for retirement? Are you utilizing your company sponsored retirement plan? Do you understand the concept of a match? I want to explain that to you, right? You know, and I had so many women that were leaning on me and saying, Christine, you should do this professionally. So in 2017, I actually launched a side hustle. I was still in corporate, but I launched a side hustle where I was actually coaching women on how to increase their earning potential, how to negotiate better compensation packages. Because the ability to earn has a direct impact on your ability to save, right? So
yes.
And organically, it led to more conversations with women that were saying, I really wish you could help me, right? Not just on the earnings piece, but what to do, right, with my money to plan for the future. So I actually pivoted into the financial services space. And for a brief time, I was actually a financial advisor, licensed financial advisor. I hung my cap with a firm. And I realized very quickly that the traditional financial advisory space in this country today is still it's biased in that the focus in order for you to make an appreciable income is really working with high net worth individuals, which is not why I went into this to begin with, because I really wanted to make this type of education accessible to as many people as possible. And I do believe whatever your socioeconomic status is, everyone should have access to like this white glove service and education. And I also felt too that a lot of the basic fundamental ideas around financial planning is not rocket science. And we don't necessarily have to rely on somebody else to take over the reins, which I truly believe that money, for me, it's like I've got two children. I wouldn't hand my children over to somebody else to raise and hope for the best, right? So if you think of it from a very feminine perspective as a woman, like you can nurture and grow your money in a very feminine way, but you've got to take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. And so I left the firm because for me, it was like, I want to do this differently. So 2 years ago, I decided to launch my own financial coaching business. And this is where we are today.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sharing your stories in such a true way. I don't know how to say that. I don't know. It really touched me. So I'm glad that your mother was able to get out of that situation and that you could rise from that in this way, that you've been able to go to college and start like a career. And that's amazing. Like really become independent. So yes, I love what you're doing. I think it's really, really inspiring. And probably because you have that background, that experience, that makes you an amazing coach. Clients are so lucky to have you.
Suzanne, thank you so much. I appreciate the feedback. I do. And I also thank you. Listen, you know, in our own authenticity and in speaking our truth, right? Therein lies the connection from one soul to another. My experiences, I'm not ashamed of them. I'm actually grateful. I learned what I learned and I experienced what I experienced because they actually helped me develop what are my gifts, my superpowers.
Yeah,
right?
That's the work, right? So that you become aware of where you're coming from and then just like learn from that. What can you be grateful for?
Absolutely.
That situation. And it's so interesting and also made me realize that, I mean, my upbringing was very middle class in Germany, but my parents divorced when I was very young and my father was not really close. So we had a good relationship, but he wasn't really close. And my mother was always like well off, but then again, always struggling because she was spending a lot as well. And I kind of like doing the same. I'm a little bit better than her because I already have a little bit more awareness, I feel. But yes, it's always realizing that pattern. And yeah, the next step is, of course, to break it. Which is my job for the next years, which is my goal to become a millionaire in my 50s. So I'm not there yet.
But that's what Suzanne, yeah. That's wonderful. That level of awareness is wonderful, right? And I love that you are setting that vision for yourself. If I may, you know, what I would love to, and I'm sure you already practice this, but it's interesting, the behaviors that we learn or we adopt around money, right? It's you know, we're born into this world and we don't have any other meaning, any meaning we attach to money except for what we decide to place upon it and what that then it means to us, right? And oftentimes it's our experiences in our childhood, as you and I both know as coaches, right? Where that framework starts to get developed, right? And for me, as a child, money was scary. There was the feelings of, you know, violence and lack and fear and all of these negative things attached to money. I had to make a decision. I had to learn to start to attach different emotions to it, right? And so I sometimes meet with women and when they say I spend because it makes me feel good, right? I like to dig deeper into that because oftentimes money could be used as a replacement for feelings of self-confidence or feelings of there's loneliness. Or, you know, whatever it may be where we use money, right, to try to address that, you know, but just whether or not that's the case, you know, it's wonderful to kind of start digging deeper into it because what we start to do is we can actually start to heal a lot of things maybe that we weren't necessarily aware of, which is preventing us from, you know, growing it, right, or earning it or whatever it may be. But the other thing I also like to talk to my clients about is this. A lot of my clients, they do come to me and they're like, I want to hit, you know, my goal, my 2024 goal is to hit $1 million, right, in revenue, or I want to have a 10K month with my coaching business. And I would often circle back and say, why? What is it about this number? right?
Yeah.
Resonates with you. And then what is the vision, right, for this money? Because if we attach to a number and not necessarily to a vision or a goal, right, or what that money can do as a tool, we're not tapping into the power of what we're actually very capable of achieving. So thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for being honest and sharing that with me. But this is, you know, some of the things that I like to kind of start to peel back the layers a little bit.
I love that. So you do everything. So it's like you start there and then you come up like with a plan, a roadmap, what to invest where, how to do ETFs and all the things.
Well, we absolutely talk about that, right? It's kind of like, you know, let's decide before we follow the recipe, right? Or before we even create the recipe, right? What is it that we want to bake? What is it that we want to prepare?
Yes.
Right? That's going to determine, right, the ingredients. That's going to determine how much of the ingredients, right? And the process by which to create this beautiful dish or your vision.
Yeah. So, yeah. And for me, that I really don't want to have to worry about money anymore, ever, even when I retire.
Yes.
And I mean, I love being an entrepreneur. I didn't grow up as one. My parents were both employed, but I really love it. I love the potential. And I love that it's possible. I know it's possible to reach that goal. I mean, I'm 53. I have 7 more years. So it's like if when you're employed, it's harder than you have your salary. You know, it might increase by like 3% or 5% per year. But unless you change jobs, which is definitely more difficult when you're in your 50s, probably, you know, I mean, that gives a lot of stability. That gives a lot of security that, you know, basically, of course, that's like the hard thing of being an entrepreneur. Every month you have to earn your money. You have to sell, you have to show up. But for me, it's like climbing a mountain. Why do you want to reach the top? Because it's there. There's not really like another big reason for that. And it's not about the money or about reaching the summit. It's the journey.
It's the process.
Yeah, it's the journey. Growth, making the decisions that could lead you there, basically.
100%. I do believe that. And look, Suzanne, you and I both, we know we work in a world where the idea of job security is a very flawed idea. And one of my, you know, major mantras with women is that when we allow someone else or an entity to control our income, they hold the cards to our financial future, right? And there's so many different ways we can approach this as entrepreneurs, right? And we're all, you know, whether, you know, we're in a different financial position, is there runway, right? Is there a financial, I guess what I'd like to kind of call like a financial runway or fund to allow us to continue to grow a business? There are a lot of women or people that get thrust into this. And they decide to go this direction because maybe they've been laid off. Look at what happened in 2020 with COVID. And it created an opportunity to pivot, right? I would say that, you know, when you know in your heart that this is what moves you, when you know in your heart, like you get up in the morning and you do something that you truly love and it allows you to shine, that's your North Star. Because I personally feel like this is when creativity and inspiration and motivation kicks in. You know, I'm sure you've had those days where, you know, all of a sudden 2 or 3 hours have gone by and you didn't really even realize because you were busy working on, maybe you were working on a course or you're working on a newsletter or something along those lines. You're working on your business and you realize, I love this. It's not necessarily always easy, but I have the energy for it. Whereas I've talked to so many people who work in jobs that they don't love, they're tied to a paycheck that's forcing them they feel the pressure to keep upgrading to a lifestyle that they can't keep up with. And the stress and the sleepless nights and the angst and the fear and the overwhelm that they feel, it's like that comes at a high price. Right?
I've seen that with type my of parents. Safety. Yes. It was like keep staying in the job because It's too late to leave, walking up to retirement and not being happy doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that we have today. I remember when I was on a round the world trip, always been a traveler, back in 2002, like really long time ago, and 2002. And the people that I met who weren't traveling, like long-term residents in Thailand or somewhere, those were people who kind of escaped. They were like, but they were also really escapers in the negative way, in a toxic way. I don't want to face a challenge ever again in my life. They didn't inspire me to do anything new. So when I came back from that trip, I started working in advertising again because I loved the energy. I loved working towards a goal, being creative, all those things. For me, it was never really about escaping something. But yeah, when today we have those opportunities and that I can grow a business just with my laptop. I mean, I started living in Bali and that was my first big vision, was really making enough so I could live in Bali. So a few $1,000 a month. That was my vision for my business when I just started. You're way ahead. Like, I want to reach you.
Well, I love that.
Now it evolved, obviously, right? So I have a much bigger vision now. It evolved, but that's where I started. And I'm so grateful that, it was possible.
Suzanne, I love that you did that. I love that you shared that. It is because there's so much growth in that. And those experiences continue to help you on your unique personal path and journey. So interesting when you said I'm way ahead, because I'm thinking to myself, Suzanne, like, I'm a Sagittarius. I love adventure. I love travel. I haven't traveled and explored as much as I've loved to as an adult because of decisions I made, right?
You have children.
Right? And I could say in so many ways, in terms of life's experiences, you're ahead. I hadn't stepped into my own entrepreneurial journey, right, until 2017. And so, this is a function of like the life that I created based on what inspired me, what motivated me, what was my vision, what did I want to experience and accomplish. I became a single mom in Los Angeles when my son was 4 and my daughter was 2.5.
And suddenly I went. That's not the cheapest place to live.
No. And yeah, I know. Still isn't. But I had to make a decision. Like, what's my vision? My vision is I'm going to focus on being financial head of household. I'm going to focus on preparing for the future. I have to, most importantly, focus on being mommy. And what is it that I can do right today to start to pave the way for me to be able to realize some of those dreams, which is later on in life, which would be travel, which would be, things that I would put on the back burner. And it doesn't mean that those visions were any less beautiful or important, but I had to also create my path to get there. So, and that's the beauty of it. That's why I always say, we should never measure success, in my opinion, by the number that's in the bank account or the revenue that our business generates. I absolutely understand.
And that after you reach that number, you don't even care about it anymore. Right? So it's really about the journey there. And I think, so financial stress is terrible.
Yes.
And you really don't know when you have debts or when you don't know how to pay your bills in the coming months or something. That's super stressful. That was most. Yeah, I don't think there's maybe like getting left by somebody is close or getting divorced, but it's really stressful. So take care that you have, I feel, your financial planning in place, so you can avoid those kind of stressful situations.
Yes.
So the basics.
Well, I mean, look, again, Suzanne, I love that you're saying this because, for me, it's not just about the numbers, because there's no guarantee we cannot predict every single curveball in life. In fact, if we live our lives trying to do that and trying to plan financially for that, we are stuck in a lack and fear mindset, right? But what I always say is, let's get empowered. Let's get educated. Let's think about what are the different opportunities and options for you to start taking steps to create the life vision that you desire and the goals around that. As you and I both know, and you being a yoga enthusiast, right? And understanding just how the body and the mind are so connected. When we are thinking about planning for the future, if we are in a state of lack and fight or flight, we know that the amygdala is going full force, and it's very difficult. It turns off the prefrontal cortex, right? And it doesn't allow us to think creatively, think strategically, even be eyes to be open to see what opportunities are coming our way, right? We're so restricted. And so I agree with you. There's nothing that dashes our dreams faster than not being able to put food on the table, a roof over our head. So, but the ability to marry basic fundamentals and understanding kind of what we need to focus on first, right? To allow us to just kind of, and I guess the best way to put it, start to lay the foundation of a financial ecosystem in our own lives. And that's going to look different for every single one of us based on how we want to live our life and what we're trying to achieve, right? That once we can kind of get the foundation built.
What would your advice here for, let's say, a new coach, a woman in 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s, who decides to build an online business, start a new career, become an entrepreneur?
I love that. There are so many different ways to slice and dice this, right? So there are some, like, if it's different if you're working for a company or you've got a salaried position, you're trying to do this on the side versus, you know, you wake up one morning, you're like, okay, I'm starting from bare bones scratch and I'm 100% entrepreneur and all my income needs to come from this. What I would say, if possible, is to take the time to prepare. And what does preparation look like financially? It's understanding, right? What your cost of living is. What's your overhead? How much does it cost for you to run your life, right, on a monthly basis? And find a creative way, right, to prepare for the right amount of time. It's different for everybody. So I don't have a blanket one size fits all. You know, you read online, everybody says, well, you should have a 3 to 6 month emergency fund just in case something happens. Well, if you decide to become an entrepreneur, if that's enough that you can still sleep comfortably at night, right, then that might be the right direction for you. But for other people, other women, they might say, hey, I don't like the idea that I only have 3 months in the bank and then I don't know what's going to happen if I don't bring revenue in my business. So I would say understanding what your runway, your peace of mind runway is for financial, to allow you to feel financially confident, right? That you can cover the essentials, right? I think number one, that's the most important thing. To establish.
Yes, definitely.
Right. And that, and it may, listen, and it may take a couple of months to do that. Or you could build your business simultaneously and know that as money is coming in, deploy dollars first and foremost to your living expenses. But then, you know, if there's whatever's left over, you know, minus your business expenses and taxes, depending on where you live and that sort of thing, right? Taking all that into consideration. Putting whatever's extra or as much of it as possible into what I call, like, you know, your personal runway, financial runway, so that you start to establish that, right? So if there's a slow month or two slow months, you know, you can actually stretch, you can ride through that time and continue, yeah. Right, with your business. I think that would be like the most important thing.
What do you see most people doing? Like starting it as a side hustle or work with you?
That's such a great question, Suzanne. I've seen it. I've seen so many different kind of so many different approaches, right? We are so, each of us so uniquely different, and our life's experiences are different, that I've seen women who are trying to build a business while they're working for a company. I've seen women that were laid off and made a complete pivot and move into starting their own business, single or married, right? And that's a whole different situation there in terms of, okay, you know, do you have like the financial support of a partner? I've also seen women that have said, you know, I am willing to recalibrate my life, downsize my expenses, right? Make major changes in terms of how I want to live so that I can realize this dream of pursuing this passion, which I want to turn into an income generating business. So Suzanne, it's honestly, it's across the board. I don't think there's a one size fits all approach, but if I may, because I'm a single woman, right? I think the most important thing for me with my business is understanding that I have a vision, I have a goal. I have actually multiple goals for this business, right? For 2024. And so my spending, my financial situation takes that into consideration. So does that mean if I get an invitation to go on a week's girls trip to Las Vegas, that if I have to choose between using those dollars to reinvest my business because I'm working on a very important project, or using those dollars, right, to go on the trip, for now I may have to say no to that trip.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with that because I'm embracing something I truly want to do and I feel passionate about, right? I'll share a story with you. Years ago, you know, when I was single, I was dating somebody. And here in Los Angeles, it's interesting, although it's like this in all over the world, I guess, right? But, you know, the car you drive is definitely a status symbol here.
Oh, in Germany, my God.
Same. Oh, obviously, right? Obviously. Some of the most beautiful cars, right? And, you know, when I was pregnant with my son, and in 2003, I bought a Honda Pilot. I had saved for that car and paid for that car in full. So didn't have a car note or a loan on it. And it was a reliable car. It was the first car I put a baby car seat in, you know. When I became a single mother, I was actually making really good income at the time. You know, when I was getting bonus checks and commission checks, and I was putting money into college funds for them, I could have easily during those years purchased a very, very nice car, right? But I chose something else because my vision was to be able to help my children with college someday. I was dating somebody who loved expensive luxury cars. And I remember he would tease me and say, "You're driving this beat up car. You're driving this jalopy in Los Angeles. You know, you can afford a nicer car. Why don't you buy a nicer car?" And that really was, you know, eye-opening in so many ways, because as women, sometimes we feel the pressure to have to make decisions to appease a partner or to appease family or to, I guess the best way to put
it, buy the designer bag so your colleagues will think you're successful.
Or, you know, whatever it may be.
Silly money, yeah.
Right. And I remember saying to him, I said, you know, it doesn't matter to me. This car, I've had this car for 13 years. I've driven with my kids. They've safely, I've taken people I love home, you know, when we've had, you know, drinks out, and I was the designated driver. I have so much good emotions and feelings and memories and gratitude for this car. And I said, and this is not my job to make you look good. I broke up with him after that, just so you know, that's the end of the story. But I'm like, but my whole point is, it's like holding so true to what your values are and what's important to you, right? And what money is meant to do in your life as a tool. Like I keep going back to that, you know, don't let the number in the bank account make you feel like that's a measure of your worth. Mm. Don't let, you know, what it is you own or want to buy, but can't buy at this moment, make you feel less than. It is, you know, money is one of those interesting things where no matter how much you have, whether it's little or a lot, just the gratitude that you have behind it, if you just view it as a conduit to creating this beautiful life that you get to design and that can change with time, right? It's interesting how much more of it starts showing up in our lives.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that story. And I think it's a great example of, yeah, it might have not have been a super nice situation, but it made you think about your relationship with money and where you invested. So that's probably a great learning from that.
It was very great learning. Yeah. It was one of those things too, where it made me dig my heels in a little bit harder and go, I know I'm making a good decision. I don't need somebody to question that. And if somebody's questioning something, right, that's aligned with my values, makes me question whether or not that person should still be in my equation. And if they're not in my equation, they don't work in my equation, then I got to factor them out. So that's what I call life math.
You shared that you really work with so many different women. What is like one of the most common mistakes women make when it comes to money?
I think one of the most common mistakes that women make when it comes to money is just not knowing their numbers. It's not understanding your numbers, whether it's your personal overhead or your business overhead, right? And I think that that's really important and it shouldn't be overwhelming. I think clarity and awareness is so powerful. It just helps us to understand where we stand, right?
What's our current situation? Like one of the first things as I share with my clients is always, here's your financial planning spreadsheet. I'm the queen of spreadsheets there.
I love it.
Here's where you plan out your year and your expenses so you know like what's ahead.
I love that. Suzanne, it sounds like you're a whiz with numbers. I mean, tell me, what's been your experience around money?
Well, I'm not a money coach. So my own experience is in the past, I wasn't really tracking my finances and I got into problems with like in my 20s. I got a little bit into debt. And then I really started, and when I become self-employed, I think I really started tracking my numbers rigorously. Mm. So every single month and every single week, I have a recurring task in my project management tool. I use Asana to look at my finances and look at pay my bills. This is like every Friday that's happening. Look at my numbers, pay the bills. So I'm never really losing sight of that. But the mistake that I'm making is I'm not really good at saving. Money for me has always shown up when I needed it. Really like magic. When I was really, suddenly things got tough and suddenly there was something. Suddenly money showed up. But I don't feel I always treat money as like a partner that I really trust or that they can trust me in a way. Like that relationship we have is a little bit, I don't know. There's not a lot of trust, probably.
I know. Thank you for being vulnerable and for sharing this. Just, you know, I'm sure this is something that you're working on as well too. I would say if I were your financial coach, I would start talking about what are some of the ways that we can develop and integrate trust, right, into your relationship with money, you know. What if, you know, and I'm just throwing this out there because I don't know, you know, all the numbers, but what if you committed, right, to a certain amount every week? You trust that the money is going to show up. You trust that the income is going to come in. You're committing a certain amount every week, whether it's to a savings fund or, you know, a retirement fund or something. It doesn't matter the amount, where you're saying, trust you. I know you're going to be doing good things for me in the future. And with that, I'm empowering you, money, right? To support me in my dreams and my goals.
I love that because I'm saving, yes, but it feels more like it's going there, it goes. And to reframe that in that way, you just like said, right. Yes.
Yeah. I want you to be there. Right. I'm putting you in this beautiful place to be there for me because I trust you. I'm putting you in this place to grow because I'm here to nourish, nurture, support you, supporting me, right? So if it's, I don't know, I mean, Suzanne, if it's like $25 a week or, you know, or $25 a month or whatever, and it's going into retirement fund and you're investing strategically, you look at that money and you send it with love so that it comes back. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It is literally just a thing. It is an opportunity for us to exercise what is so intuitively powerful in us, right? That's why I keep saying money is a conduit for us to continue to grow, expand, and embody what we're meant to feel and experience in this world, right? So,
and it's definitely important to think about, especially when you are not like in your 20s anymore. I mean, you should think about it when you're in your 20s too, but it's probably more forgiving.
Right.
Right. So, Right. Yes. So, when you're listening and you're just like starting your entrepreneurial journey in your midlife, make sure you track your finances, you have a plan, you know what's happening with retirement. I mean, I plan to be working like when I'm in my 80s and I'm going to have white hair and everybody's going to think I'm all the wisdom.
I love that.
But you don't see myself stopping, right? So I'm managing my energy and things. I'm trying to stay healthy, probably not going to work 40 hours a week, but yeah, but I don't see myself stopping.
Right. Well, actuarial tables, like the research is stating, right, with advancements in healthcare and medicine, we're going to be living well into our 90s. So if you think about that, we still have a ways to go.
My grandmother, she died when she was 101 years old.
Oh, so that's amazing.
I have good genes. Yeah.
That's amazing, right? And we don't need to approach that idea with fear and thinking like we should have hit some benchmark by now to plan for that, right? It's amazing. I've just met too many people that have started to embody a whole different mindset about how they want life to look like and how they want to immerse themselves into their passion and their business passions, right? And financial situations can change very quickly. And suddenly there's like this infusion of resources. Like, again, I don't want to just attach to numbers because I'm that financial coach that's, I don't believe that grinding to hit a seven-figure number, right, means that all of our answers, all of our problems are answered. It's interesting because
I don't think you can out-earn your problems.
You can't out-earn your problems. And in fact, I've met too many people that the more they make and then the more that they acquire, actually the less stable they feel because there's more at risk. Right.
Yeah, I heard that too, but yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting, really, like everything that's connected with money, with the mindset, with what we do. Yes, the strategies are important, but that's really only like 20% or something. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I it goes hand in hand. So you asked that one question. It's like, right, it's about knowing your numbers. But I also feel like fundamentally, what we want to start to do is also kind of get into the mindset of earning. Like how can we earn in a way that allows us to achieve our vision, achieve our goals? You know, and as an entrepreneur, there's so many different things, whether it's how you structure your business or your platform, right? How much you charge for your services, right?
Yeah, that's such an ongoing topic with many of my clients because many of them are yoga teachers. So come with a lot of other money issues like yoga should be free or I want to be accessible to everybody. And yeah, it's really tough to work through that. Yeah.
There's ways that you can create that. I mean, I will share like my personal way to do that, you know, Suzanne. So I do charge, right, a fee for financial coaching. I do have my own pricing structure. But one of the ways that I want to make coaching accessible to as many as possible is once a month, I host a free online virtual community coaching session, which is not recorded. It's not published. It's non-judgmental. It's confidential. And I make that accessible. Like if you go onto my website, you can literally just drop your name, your email address, and you know, any questions you have in advance, and you're invited to the next one. So this is just an idea, but it's one of those ways of how do I integrate all the ways that I want to be of service, yet still be able to grow a business, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great offer. I'm going to share the links for how people can get in touch with you in the show notes as well. Yes, because I think you have an amazing offer and it's so needed. And I love your whole vision behind it, your whole, you know, like everything that you're doing. It's amazing.
Suzanne, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Really, thank you. Thank you just for the opportunity to talk with you today and to share a little bit more about what I do. And
yeah, thanks for sharing your stories and time here. So yeah, tell us where people can learn more about you.
Absolutely. All right. So if you'd like to find me, I'm on the socials. I'm on the interwebs. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Christine Joy Luxarno is my handle. My website, www.christinejoyluxarno.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as well, but most people find me on the socials. And yes, I mean, there's different ways. I've got one-to-one and group coaching programs. I do have that free virtual community that I like to offer. It's a way to access and work with me live, and it's free. And then I do teach investing basics and that sort of thing. So, and the fundamentals around financial planning, especially for women and how women need to think about that. And absolutely, Suzanne, like women are in midlife, because a lot of the decisions that we've made in terms of our career, things do change, right? We do come into this. This is one of the beautiful things about this time in our life where we're starting to become so much more aware and inspired and connected with how do we want life to look like professionally? And stepping into that can also be scary. So I get that. And so there's a lot of good support there that I can absolutely help provide.
Oh, thank you so much. And one last question. So your name is really related to your Taiwanese heritage, or where is it coming from?
Oh, my mom, even though she's Taiwanese, I wasn't raised with a Chinese or a Taiwanese name. My business name or my business handle is actually my inspiration. My children, I call them my joy and luck.
Oh, I love that.
My children are my joy and luck in life. And it's like a head nod, and it pays homage to my Taiwanese part of my background. So yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.